Good morning, church. Good morning to those worship you online, Facebook Live. So glad to have you with me and us. We would love to start with an exciting Easter recap. A couple weeks ago, remember Easter? Say amen if you remember Easter. Amen. In our five Easter services, we had 2,829 adults. We had 390 kids at CPC Kids. On our Good Friday service, which was here at 12:30, that's the seven last words of Christ, a very unique service that's gaining momentum. It was our biggest ever. We had 618 people at our Good Friday service. We might add a second Good Friday service next year because the demand and the appreciation for that service is growing so much. In addition to that, we had 622 people worshiping with us online on Facebook Live throughout the weekend. And so that was a total of a little over 4,500 people worshiping for Easter. Isn't that awesome? Very excited about that. And that doesn't include the 350 high school students and volunteers who were down building 15 and a half homes in Mexico, which was so awesome. If you were one of those students or volunteers in Mexico, thank you so much for doing that. Tomorrow night is the Mexico recap night in here at 7 o'clock, one of the best things we do all year. One other thing, in order to do all those Easter services and Mexico trips, all those types of things, you know what we need to do those? Volunteers! We can't do them without volunteers, so thank you. This is a week where we're celebrating volunteers, just like we're doing all month. This is Volunteer Appreciation Month here, so thank you so much for those of you who volunteer. We run on volunteers. That's what we do. And so last week, it was very hard for I wasn't here. We were away on a family vacation, but I could see and sense and even kind of smell from where we were. We were watching online that it was hard for you to worship through the smell of kettle corn, wasn't it? You guys could smell the kettle corn right out there. This week, it's ice cream. Everybody, if you volunteer in any capacity or if you appreciate volunteers in any capacity, you can help yourself to ice cream right afterward because I have heard it said, perhaps you have too, ice cream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream. So that's what we have for our volunteers today. This is week two of a series on the book of James called How to Build a Great Life. One more thank you before we get going is last week Jeremiah opened the series, a message called Persevering Through Trials, a very, very good message. And this week our text is from James chapter 1 at verse 19, a message titled Keep It Simple. And here is what the text says. It says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." That's the word of the Lord. Now, would you join me in a quick word of prayer? We're going to ask God to add his blessing to the reading of his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us a reason to come here and celebrate and teach. Jesus, we thank you for your faithfulness, your obedience unto death, even on a cross, to atone for our sins and pave the way for us to have a relationship with God the Father through faith in you. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence here. We sense you here through music. Now we trust you to lead us and guide us through this message. We pray that you'd give us the courage to apply what we hear. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. On January 9th, 2007, Steve Jobs, the co-founder of Apple, stood before a ruckus Macworld crowd in San Francisco, and he unveiled, now he's a great pitch man, of course, very, very smart man, but he gave his best performance, I believe, ever. He unveiled a transformational product that has launched Apple on a trajectory to now become the most valuable company in the entire world. And here's how Steve Jobs did it. Take a look.
Today, we're introducing three revolutionary products of this class. The first one is a widescreen iPod with touch controls. The second is a revolutionary mobile phone. And the third is a breakthrough internet communications device. So, three things: a widescreen iPod with touch controls, a revolutionary mobile phone, and a breakthrough internet communications device. An iPod, a phone, and an internet communicator. An iPod, a phone. Are you getting it? These are not three separate devices. This is one device. And we are calling it iPhone.
Boom, and with that, the world was changed. The genius of his communication, he's a masterful communicator, he was, is his simplicity. And the genius of Apple is they keep it simple. An iPod, a phone, an internet communications device. This is the genius of the book of James, the half-brother of Jesus. He keeps it simple. So for the next 6 weeks, it's a seven-week series, we're going to move to last week. You want to build a great life? Persevere through trials. Keep it simple. Next week, walk the talk. The week after that, tame the tongue. And so on and so forth through the book of James. This week, we focus on relationships. We focus on relationships in this passage. And here is the big idea. If you're a note taker, you might want to write this down at the top of your sermon outline. If you grabbed a pen on the way, here's the big idea. To build a great life, you must build great relationships. To build a great life, you must build great relationships. How many of us want to build a great life? Raise your hand. You got to build great relationships. And this begs the simple question, how? And of course, James, because he keeps it simple, and he's so practical, he shows us exactly how in this passage. He gives us five keys to building great relationships. So we're going to march right through this text in the order that it's there. And here's the first key to building great relationships. Be quick to listen. Be quick to listen. You want to build a great life, you must have great relationships. And the first key to building great relationships is to be quick to listen. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the famous German theologian and pastor, said this: many people are looking for an ear that will listen. They often do not find it among Christians because Christians are talking when they should be listening. Author Todd Hunter put it this way. He said, and I quote, "I'm willing to bet the farm that in our postmodern society, the most important relational skill is listening." Listening. You must be quick to listen. Be quick to listen. Now notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say listen quickly. That's how I interpret it sometimes. And my Achilles heel is I interpret it that way in my relationship with my own wife. I try to listen quickly. I try to hurry her to the bottom line or offer. Some of you guys are laughing right now. I guess I'm not alone. I try to listen quickly. And the worst way that I do that, and really Bridget's pet peeve, is when I finish her sentences. Oh, yes. I can be that guy sometimes. And sometimes if she's really feisty, then she'll stop. She's like, okay, forget it. I'm not telling you. So she just won't even finish the sentence. She won't even finish the thought. And if she's really extra feisty, she'll be like, I'm not going to tell you. And what I was going to tell you was really good. You would have liked it. An example of someone who finishes people's sentences is this guy right here. Take a look at this.
Hey, heard you were having trouble.
No, you're that guy who won't stop saying, yeah,
Ronathan. Yeah, I was, but I heard people hate that, so I am committed to being a better listener.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think there's something wrong with
your computer.
No, my phone, actually. Oh. I can't
update to the new OS, yeah.
No, access
the internet.
No, my
trade.
Mail.
Got it. E-trade.
Email.
Email.
Okay,
got it. Yeah.
The way you keep finishing my sentences is
really helpful, I know.
Annoying.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You keep guessing wrong. Just let me finish what I'm...
Eating.
Eating?
Eating.
Really? You thought I was going to say eating?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. That time I was going to say eating, but not the time...
Of your life.
No, I was saying not the time before that. None of your guesses make
him an offer he can't refuse.
Sense. Just shut up for one
direction.
Why are you doing
drugs?
This? Why are you doing this?
Oh, I'm just helping the conversation along and just showing you that I understand.
But you clearly don't understand.
Pants.
Stand. Okay, this would take less time if you just waited half a second and really listened to my problem instead of
piloting a single engine Cessna. Yeah, I get that a lot.
Interrupting.
Yeah, or that, sure.
That's what I was gonna say.
Okay, whatever. Your problem is
getting
jiggy with it.
My
Sharona, right.
Email on
the
my
phonograph.
Phonograph. Just phone.
Phone. Oh, yeah, I can help you with that. Definitely. I don't know why you didn't just say that to begin with.
I did.
But, yeah, there you go. You forgot to update your password, so the email wasn't forwarding properly.
Oh. That easy, huh?
Just that easy.
Okay, well, thank you.
You.
Yes, thank
for
you.
For being a friend.
Just don't touch.
You do not want to be that guy. You don't want to be that husband, you don't want to be that wife, you don't want to be that friend, that person, that parent. And how many of you know someone like that who does that? Yes, it's not fun. You don't want to be that guy. You want to be quick to listen. Be quick to listen. I think this is what one of the applications that the Apostle Paul had in mind when he wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, he says, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Would you believe that one of the simplest, one of the easiest ways to show humility and show someone that you're valuing them above yourself is to give your full attention and listen to them? To listen to them. You're showing them that they're more, in that moment, they're more important than you are. All of us can relate to being in a room with someone who's more important than we are, right? We know what that's like. You show them that they're more valuable than you. Like, for instance, how many of us, raise your hand, have been to a wedding before? Been to a wedding? So you know what it's like, unless it was your wedding and you were the bride, you know what it's like to not be the most important person in the room. And so you show humility and you value that person or those people or that couple above yourselves. To build a great life, you must build great relationships. And the first key to building great relationships is simply be quick to listen. There's a second thing. James goes on in verse 19. He says, be slow to speak. Be quick to listen and be slow to speak. I've been here 6 years as a pastor, and the first 4 years I was an associate pastor, and my boss, a mentor in my life, was Scott Farmer. He was my predecessor. He was the senior pastor here for almost 24 years. Now he's our pastor emeritus. He was at the 9 o'clock service. And we would meet once or twice a month, one-on-one. And at the end of our meetings, when we would connect and go through things, and we would cover personal stuff and professional stuff, but I would always solicit candid feedback. And so I would say, okay, Scott, don't pull any punches. If you were me, what would you do differently? Like, personally, professionally, what do you see in my life that needs correcting? How can I grow as a leader? Like, speak into my life. And one time, he did it multiple times, but one time that I'll never forget is he just looked at me and he took a deep breath. He goes, too many words. And I said, you use too many words. You talk too much. You use too many words sometimes when you preach. My response was, well, they don't listen quickly enough. That's why I have to use them. Just kidding. So you use too many words sometimes when you preach. And then in meetings, sometimes you talk too much and too soon. If you want to grow as a leader and you want to be effective as the leader of the leaders one day, you need to speak less and speak last. And he was right. He is right. It's one of those things that I'm still working on. This is why James says, you want to enjoy great relationships? You want to build a great life? Then don't just be quick to listen, but be slow to speak. Proverbs 10, verse 19 says it this way. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Put another way, a more familiar passage probably, in 1 Corinthians 13 at verse 4, it says the first thing about love, that passage about love, it says love is patient. Love waits. Love is slow to speak and to respond. To build a great life, you must build great relationships. The first way is be quick to listen. The second key is to be slow to speak. There's a third one. James goes on. Be slow to anger. Be slow to anger. Now, it doesn't say this. It doesn't say you can't get angry. It doesn't say it's a sin to get angry. I don't believe it's a sin to get angry. Jesus got angry, overturned some tables in the temple. God gets angry in Scripture. I do think the Scripture teaches that it's a sin to stay angry. There's a difference between getting angry and staying angry. One definition of anger I came across this week is anger is energy released to defend. It's a good use of anger. There is such a thing as righteous anger. I want to start by saying that. Just give you a few examples of that. One of my favorite cartoons growing up, and these are just examples of righteous anger, was this. You know who this guy is? Popeye. Every episode of Popeye turned right about the moment where he was kind of motivated by righteous anger. And he would say, assessing a situation, he would say, "That's all I can stands. I can't stands no more." And then gulp, 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 gulp. He would gulp down his spinach. He would do something amazing. And then he would say, "That's me. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm strong to the finish because I eats me spinach. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man." That's every episode. Pivoting on righteous anger. And you see it in film all the time. One of my favorite movie series, my kids are into it now and love it, is this Indiana Jones. One of the best of all time. Each one of those is really based upon his righteous anger-based response, whether it's to a lost ark or the mistreatment of children or so on and so forth. Or here's another example. This one was really, really popular a few years later than that. Remember this one? Gladiator? The whole movie. The whole movie, Russell Crowe is having a righteous anger response to the murder of his wife and his son and the mistreatment at the hands of the Roman government. The culmination of that, you might remember that scene where he's in the middle of the arena in the Colosseum there. They say, "Hey, take off your mask and tell us your name." Remember that scene? And he says, "My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the north, general of the Felix legions, loyal servant of the true emperor, Marcus Aurelius." And he says, "Father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife." And then he looks at Joaquin Phoenix in the eye and he says, "And I will have my vengeance in this life or the next." Ah! How macho was that? It was amazing. It was all a response to righteous anger. But, and this is a big but, I almost eliminated those examples, even though they are accurate, even though it is true, and there is such a thing as righteous anger. I almost eliminated those examples because what I want to implore us, encourage us to do, is to not kid ourselves this morning about the subject of anger. Let me be clear. Almost all of your anger and my anger is bad. Almost none of your anger and my, almost none is righteous anger. It's almost all bad. And in 43 years of life and 20 plus years in pastoral ministry, I have seen anger destroy more people, destroy more families, destroy more children, destroy more friendships, destroy more relationships, entire households than anything else. Anger is almost always bad. That's why James says, right after he says, be slow to anger, he says, because anger, human anger, does not bring about the righteousness that God requires. It's almost always bad. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says anger is almost always the primary motivation for sins as great as murder. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 says anger is one of the primary ways you give the devil a foothold to work in your heart, in your life. Anger is almost always bad. So please, listen to me as your pastor, please do not try to justify your anger. If you're a person who's prone to anger, it's almost always, 99.99% of the time, it's bad, it's harmful. Let me give you a couple oft-quoted but also often misapplied scriptures that talk about anger that you might be familiar with in scripture. Here's the first one. You might have heard this one before. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. The Apostle Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. And you'll notice these. What are these right here? Quotation marks, which means he's quoting something else. The scripture that he's quoting there is an Old Testament passage in the wisdom literature. It's Psalm chapter 4 at verse 4. We'll go there next. But what Paul does, he says, in your anger, do not sin. That's a quote from Psalm 4:4. And then he says, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Now, most of us, if we're familiar with this at all, if we've ever used it, it won't make you raise your hand or anything, because I've done this too. I've used that to justify being angry and going, well, I want to obey God's word. He says, don't let the sun go, don't go to bed angry. And so I'm going to keep you up to listen to me while I vent about my anger so that you can perhaps see that you're one of the reasons why I'm angry and then maybe apologize in the midst of that. But I'm going to get this off of my chest before I go to bed because I want to obey God's word. I'm not supposed to go to bed angry. We do that with our spouses. We do that with our friends. We do that with our kids. That is not what this says. Now, what it says, if you go, go back to what it's quoting, let's go back to Psalm chapter 4, verse 4. Here's what it says to do with our anger. In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your beds, when you're trying to go to bed not angry, here's what you should do. Search your hearts and be silent. You might go, but I'm a verbal processor. No. Me too. Search your hearts and be silent. You go, I need to get something off my chest. The scriptures say, no. You need to get the Holy Spirit in your chest, in your heart. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to search your hearts and be silent. That's the way to deal with anger, as opposed to blowing it up on somebody else, because 9 times out of 10, when you allow the Holy Spirit in to address your anger, you will find, and this is just my own experience, that it almost always has to do with my own pride. I'm mad because something happened to me. Something didn't happen on my time schedule. I feel like I was slighted. Something having to do with me. That's pride. It's at the root of almost every bit of mine and perhaps your anger. To build a great life, you must build great relationships. Be quick to listen, be slow to speak, be slow to anger. Be slow to anger. A few years ago, I mentioned anger in a message, and someone walked up and just, they wrote this down and they gave it to me. And I kept it, my little sermon illustration file. It says, actually it's a very big file. It says, a moment of patience in a moment of anger saves you 100 moments of regret. A moment of patience in a moment of anger saves you 100 moments of regret. Think about your words, your actions, your emails, your texts, your tweets, your Snapchats, your posts, your social media comments done in anger. They don't build relationships. They do the opposite. Be quick to listen, be slow to speak, be slow to anger. There's a fourth thing. We're just moving right through this text. This is the genius of James. He just keeps it simple. Here's a fourth way to build great relationships. Get rid of the interference. Get rid of the interference. He says, literally, he says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Get rid of it. Get rid of. That phrase, get rid of, in the Greek, is the same word in Colossians chapter 3 at verse 8 that says, get rid of. It's the same word in Ephesians chapter 4 that Paul uses that says, get rid of. It's the same word that the author of Hebrews in chapter 12 at verse 1 says, get rid of, when it's talking to about a sin that you're supposed to throw off, get rid of, take off. The picture is of taking off dirty, stinky clothes. Let me illustrate. Thank you, Kathy. A few months ago, I went to Africa with a group of about 20 pastors. In my Easter message, I mentioned about the trip back from Africa. Let me tell you a little bit about the trip out there. It was a 36-hour trip, 3 flights. And I was like, you know what? I want to be warm on these flights. I want to be able to sleep And I also want to make a good impression on these guys. I've never met pretty much all of them, and you know, it's all a bunch of senior pastors, and so I'm going to wear this travel blazer the entire time. It'll keep me warm, makes me feel good, feel like it looks pretty good. I'm going to wear this the entire time. So I did. But I wore it all through the airports. I wore it through 3 flights. I slept in it. I walked in it. I slept luggage around it. I lifted stuff up. And in about hour 18, 20, 22, I started to notice a little stank in my own cup. It doesn't breathe real well, as it turns out. And so by like hour 24 and then hour 30, I was like, whoa, we got a problem here. And so I was like, I'm sitting here like this going like, what's amazing is what I thought looked good, what I thought felt good, what I thought would help me build relationships because of how it smelled, it was actually hurting my ability to build relationships. I literally stank. So I couldn't wait to get to the hotel in Africa and rip this thing up and crumble it up in a corner and just put it in the corner of my suitcase, never to be seen or taken out again on that entire trip because it stunk. James says, get rid of moral filth or evil that's prevalent. Get rid of something in your life that in your mind you might have convinced yourself that it's helping you build relationships, but it's really interfering with them. And there's such a big list, and the Holy Spirit is so good at illuminating what it might be for us. It might be an element of social media. It might be an app. It might be Facebook, Instagram. I was thinking about that, not to bag on Facebook and Instagram. I'm on both of those, and we're big on social media here at the church. They are important, and they can be leveraged well. But some of us probably have convinced ourselves that we're doing things. We can control it. We can put it out. It makes us look good. It makes us feel good. And we think it's helping us build relationships, but it might be interfering a little bit. Or maybe there's a reality TV show. It's like, well, I just watch it so that I can be current in my conversation with my girlfriends or my guy friends or whatever. And so I just watch it, but it's really interfering. There might be a habit. There, a few weeks ago, we talked about addiction, and one of the addictions we talked to was pornography. I mean, I've heard so many guys try to convince themselves that pornography is going to help their marriage and their intimacy. It kills intimacy in a marriage. It's the worst possible thing you could do. It doesn't help. It actually interferes. The scriptures would say here, James would say, you want a great relationship? You want a great marriage? Get rid of it. Take it off and throw it away like dirty clothes that stink. Might be a habit. You might, we don't have a thing. Video games have become so prominent, not just among kids, among adults. I mean, kids, especially Fortnite lately. Oh my gosh, the Fortnite craze. Are you kidding me? All these kids playing Fortnite. We had to issue like a moratorium at any time during the midweek. Like, no Fortnite at all during the week, not 1 minute. You play a game or two on the weekends, but that's it. It's just kind of taken over. But it's taken over for adults too. You see them in line at the store or at coffee, and they're just in their phones. I go, I want to tap this guy, this adult playing video games in line, tap it on the shoulder and go, that's not helping you build relationships. I know you want great relationships. That's not the way to do it. What's so good about the Holy Spirit is that he is able to illumine what's needed in each of our hearts and our lives and just go, yeah, that thing that you've tried to convince yourself that will help you build great relationships, it's really interfering. You should get rid of it. How to build great relationships. Be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. Be slow to anger. Get rid of the interference. And here's a fifth and final thing. It says this. Let God's word save you. Let God's word save you. I know this about you, and you all raised hands to show this. You want to build great relationships. And if you're here, you're at least interested in building a relationship with God, and you're probably very interested in building great relationships with other people in your lives. And I will submit to you that the most important thing in your life for building relationships with God and others is his word. You're going, man, I was so convicted. Like, I'm a quick listener. I'm trying to be quick to listen, but I'm a quick listener. I finish people's. If you spend time on God's word, you'll become a better listener. I'm too quick to speak. I spout off. If you spend time in God's word, you'll be slower to speak. You'll be more patient. You'll be more kind. You'll be more prudent with your words. Oh, the anger one is the one that got me. I have a problem with anger. I'm prone to bits or bouts or bursts of anger. That's me, Pastor. If you'd like to be slower to anger or to eliminate anger from your life, spend more time in God's word, and you will become a far less angry person, I can promise you. Oh, I'd like to feel compelled. I don't want to just do it because I should or because someone told me to. I want to feel the inside out. I want to feel compelled by the Spirit of God to get rid of something that's interfering in my relationships. If you spend more time in God's word, His Spirit will show you what needs to go or what should stay. God's word is the most important thing. Let God's word, and I use the word on purpose, save you. And it's not even my word, it's James's word. He says, get rid of the moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent, and humbly, there's that word again, in humility, humbly accept God's word planted in you that can save you. How does that work? It gives us saving faith. Here's the first thing. It saves your faith. Your faith begins with God's word, the message of the gospel getting in your heart and you saying yes to it. So just an example of this, at Easter, we shared the gospel message through music and message. At the end of the Easter, every service, we gave an invitation for people to respond by faith, to say yes to Jesus for forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And here's some good news. We gave away this yes packet is what we asked people to do. Hey, if you committed your life to following Jesus for the first time or you recommitted your life, among the things we'd like you to do, besides tell someone and come back and worship with it, is to go grab a yes packet from the back. And we gave away 190 yes packets on Easter weekend. And if you're motivated by the Spirit at all, you should be clapping and going, amen. Sorry. It's a church. That's why we're trying to reach people with a gospel message. That's reach vision, reach people for Christ. Yeah, that was awesome. 190 people. And more raised their hand. 190 actually went and said, I'm taking a packet to show you. This is my commitment. That's awesome. But our covenant theology reminds us that when we say yes to Jesus, we're not the initiator of that. God is sovereign. He chooses us. Matter of fact, the verse right before where we started today is verse 18. It's not in there, but I'll read it to you. It says, He chose to give us. He chose us. That's God, the divine initiator. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might become a kind of first fruits for all that He created. God chooses us. He's the divine initiator. So when we say yes to Him by faith, we receive His gospel message and respond to it, we're just responding to His initiating love. It's a beautiful part of our Reformed covenant theology, actually. God is sovereign. He initiates. We respond to His love. By the way, if you responded by faith around Easter or before, and you've never been baptized, 2 weeks from now, we're going to have this amazing student testimony weekend. And we're going to do a bunch of baptisms. Oh, no, wait. Student testimonies is 2 weeks from now. That's the 22nd. What's that? Oh, it is the same weekend. Yes. 2 weeks from now. I'm right. By golly. I'm right. 2 weeks from now, we have student testimonies, and we've got at least 20 baptisms scheduled right now. It's going to be like Kathy loves baptisms. Jeremiah loves baptisms. They're doing reverse curls to get ready for all the baptisms, the sprinklings, and it's going to be amazing. If you've never been baptized, you're a Christ follower, you've never been baptized, or maybe you were baptized as an infant and you want to reaffirm your baptism as an adult, this is the service to do it. It's going to be a huge celebration in 2 weeks. Just want to encourage you with that. So your faith begins and your faith is built primarily through the word of God getting into you. So maybe something that God wants you to do is just figure out how to spend some more time letting God's word into your heart and your life, and maybe reading it and studying it on a daily or a regular basis. Here's another thing that how God's word can save you in a practical way. It builds your filter. It builds your filter. Someone who shoots off at the mouth or shoots off and is reactive but not responsive, and they always wear their heart on their sleeve, and you always know exactly how he stands or how she stands. We say this person who spouts off often with their words, he or she has no filter. You don't want to be that type of person. If to build a great life, you must build great relationships. To build great relationships, you can't be a person that has no filter. And God's word, spending time in it, helps you build your filter. Jesus says in Luke chapter 6 at verse 45, he says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you spend time in God's word, you get his word in your heart, and then that's what comes out. Another example of just how it's your filter, I'll wrap up with this. This last week, our family spent our spring break. We went to Hawaii. We stayed at a friend's condo, and we went there for a week. We splashed and played. We had a great time. And the day came this last week where it was time to go back to the airport. And we stayed in Kaanapali. That's where this family's condo is. And so you know, from Kaanapali back to the airport, the Maui airport, it's just a two-lane road. There's one way in and one way out. And if there's a problem with that road, you have a problem. So we left 2.5 hours before our flight. We thought we had plenty of time. I looked on my Google Maps and said, oh, it's a 45-minute drive right now, so we look good. So we got in our cars, we started driving, and then we saw ambulances and fire trucks, and we came into a parking lot on this two-lane road right there in Lahaina, which is 2 minutes down the road. And it was like we sat there for over an hour, and I realized very, very slowly, like a slow burn or a slow bleed, we are going to miss our flights. And we just sat there, and I'm looking at Google Maps, and I'm not moving. Somehow the airport keeps getting further away. I'm like, how does that even happen? So I go, babe, it's unfortunate. We're going to miss our flights. But amazingly, I was calm. Normally, I would be angry, like quickly, especially when we called Hawaiian Airlines, and they're like, oh, no problem, sir. You just pay the change fee per person and the difference in fare, and so you're due $867 per person. Times five. I go, no, that's not going to happen. So what are our other options? We'll just keep driving to the airport, but we're going to miss our flights. I was resigned to it. And Bridget's, she goes, let's just pray. She just kept praying the whole way there. And we made a plan and go, this is one of those where we're going to arrive at there. So eventually we get through the accident thing. We did sat there for over an hour. And it says we're going to arrive at the airport almost at the exact minute our plane is supposed to take off. And online it says it's on time, so it's not going to happen. It's not looking good for us. So we said, we're going to separate. You guys try to make it. I said, I'm not going to make it. You guys try to, but you can run. So she and the boys ran. Miraculously, they got on a plane. They made it. They were the last people in. They were holding the door for them. I had to do the rental car, the shuttles, and stuff like that. So I didn't make it. But I walked up to the counter, and a woman greeted me with a smile. She got me on the next flight 2 hours later to SFO, waived all the change fees. So I'm going like, man, prayer works. This is great. And I'm sitting there, but then I'm still surprised that I'm not more angered by the events of the day. I wasn't angry on the drive, and then I get in there, and there's a young boy 3 rows back who is the crier to end all cry. I mean, this kid was a little dinosaur, and he was a T-Rex. He was not a Triceratops. He was not a Velociraptor. He was a T-Rex. He had the loudest blood-curdling cry, and he had got colic or something. I didn't go back there, and it was like, what do you say to that? But for at least 2 hours of this 5-hour flight, he was a 10 on a scale of 10. I had the earbuds in and the music up, and I could still hear him at the peaks. But amazingly, I was not angry at all. And normally I would be. So I was like, Lord, why is that? And the reason why is because I literally had spent the whole week in that day marinating on this passage, this scripture. Be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. Be slow to become angry. And I wasn't. It was like God's word was a filter, was a very real thing. And I'm going, this is not me. I mean, Bridget was even surprised on the ride to the airport. She's like, who are you? What do you do with my husband? Like, just so calm. I'm like, it's God's word. It's a filter. It really works. Just keep it simple. To build a great life, we must build great relationships. The genius is in the simplicity of it. Be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. Be slow to anger. Get rid of the interference. Let God's word in so it can save you. Your faith, your filter. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.